Welcome to the Coda Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and in this episode, I'm talking about a tweet that came out at like the start of July, but I haven't talked about it because I've had a bunch of other episodes kind of prepping and getting ready to happen. Some awesome stuff had been coming up, so I just kind of decided to record these in advance and get them ready just to fill out some gaps in potential releases of some software coming up. They may have already come out by the time this podcast episode comes out, but that's why this one's been a little bit delayed, because Ruby and Rails is kind of, it's my bread and butter at the moment, and these kind of things, it's easy for me to talk about, so I'd like to record them when I can. So this one is about DHH tweeting about active storage is coming to Rails 5.2. So what is active storage? So it's a brand new framework for managing cloud and local files in Rails. And DHH says this is overdue, and I completely agree. It's definitely something that should have been in Rails a lot sooner. But it's kind of going in the same vein as active jobs. So where you've got kind of a wrapper around, like with active job, it's a wrapper around background services, so sidekick, etc., delayed job, that kind of thing. So active storage is basically doing that. So I'm just going to the GitHub repo here. This is something you can play around with if you're playing around with Rails 5.2, like if you're using the kind of alpha development version of Rails, just playing around. So they've got here on the repo, active storage makes it simple to upload and reference files in cloud services like Amazon S3, Google Cloud, and attach those files to active record models. So very much you can think of it like, I think Dragonfly, or the main one you'll probably know about is Carrier Wave. So it's basically in that kind of era, it's going to be sitting on top of some kind of system like Fog or something like that to manage these files in cloud services. So it also provides a disk service for testing or local deployments, but the focus is purely on cloud storage. So it makes sense because most applications that you write really should be storing files off the server where your application is. Like I tend to think of where your app server lives, that is a temporary place. You can expect to blow it away and just start up a new box and be good to go, just updating some credentials. So your database should be somewhere else, all your files should be somewhere else, etc. And this is kind of keeping in that that methodology as well. So it's saying here, image files can furthermore be transformed using on-demand variants for quality, aspect ratio, size, or any other Minimagic supported transformation. Now, this particular thing about the transformations on the fly, I'm pretty sure it was called Dragonfly. I might be wrong. Let me know if you know what the project's called. But basically, it's an alternative to Carrier Wave that actually allowed you to just specify some dimensions for an image, and it would output it and actually generate that image if it didn't exist on the fly, which is really nice. So it's doing something similar to that. So I feel like active storage is also taking in these parts of like, okay, Carrier Wave's great for storage management. We're going to take some similar APIs to how it does it, and then take some other aspects here and there and piece together what is or what looks to be a very nice gem that's going to be included in Rails. So they're saying here, I'll just go through the compared to other storage solutions. A key difference to how active storage works compared to other attachment solutions in Rails is through the use of built-in blob and attachment models backed by Active Record. This means existing application models do not need to be modified with additional columns to associate with files. Active storage uses polymorphic associations via the join model of attachment, which then connects to the actual blob. These blob models are intended to be immutable in spirit. One file, one blob. You can associate that same blob with multiple application models as well. And if you want to do the transformations of a given blob, the idea is that you'll simply create a new one rather than attempt to mutate the existing. Though, of course, you can delete that later if you don't need it. So there's some really interesting aspects here about immutability, and I'm seeing this a lot throughout code coming up. So think of React, there's a lot of push for immutable kind of JavaScript. I suppose it's just JavaScript in general. And then you're seeing things like languages like Elixir that are using immutability as well. So it's good to kind of see that. It basically stops mutations, which can cause changes you don't really want to happen. So it's nice to see that happening there. So what about the API? I did briefly say that it was very much like Carrier Wave. Now, there are some API differences, but essentially saying, you know, I want to attach some field to my model, very, very similar. So here they've got an example of class user that inherits from application record. So it's a user model, and they've just got has one attached and then a hash of avatar. So obviously we're attaching a single avatar, and it's got a very simple API. So it's just user.avatar.attach, and then we have our hash. So it's got an IO parameter that looks at an actual file path. So file.open, and then they've got a path to the file. Then you've got file name, just a string there, file name, and then content type, again, a string, which is image slash JPEG in this example. And then you can call a predicate method, on user.avatar.attached, so attached with a question mark, and it'll return true or false, a boolean. And then if you do user.avatar.purge and you do user.avatar.attached again, well, you're going to get false as expected. So that's quite nice there. There's also a new helpful method called URL4, and you just pass in user.avatar and it'll give you what you need. Working with your controllers, very simple, very straightforward. There's not too much, an extra line, and you're good to go. What about many attachments, though? So that was just the single. It's just has many attached, and in this example, using images, very straightforward. In their form with, they just have a file field with images with a multiple true set. Very straightforward. There's not too much you have to learn or do anything different there. It's very much the same API. And again, the controller is pretty straightforward. It's a little touch, like just a touch different, but not too much. So very simple to see there. They also have an example of how to use variants, which the API, it makes sense. It's very straightforward. You definitely have to check that one out. But it's just using a URL4 in there with that method, and then just calling, you know, avatar.variant, and then passing in, you know, I want to resize it to something. You can pass in other parameters there. I'm not too sure what's available. But very straightforward API, feels very Rails-like, and it doesn't seem like it's going to have a big barrier to entry. Like, it's going to be very simple to learn, just like Active Job was. But that's essentially it. There's not too much to it. You know, the basic Ruby API is there. It does the job. It looks like it's going to work very well. That's all you got to say? Well, no. Okay. One last thing, which is really important, and I'm glad that they're actually doing this and they haven't just kind of skipped over it, is there's been a big push for Rails, in particular Rails 5.1, having the, well, maybe it was 5.1, having Webpacker included and really focusing on JavaScript. And they've actually included JavaScript APIs for, or JavaScript events for handling uploads. So they've got all those there, you know, progress, error, end, start, initialize, all that kind of stuff. It's there for you to work with, and it returns decent responses. It's really nice to see that that is there. So you're covered on both sides, both the Ruby API side and the actual JavaScript event side. So they have considered and thought about how this is going to work in these different scenarios, which is good to see. But that's essentially it for this episode. I don't really have too much more to say on the topic, but I'd love to know your thoughts. What are your thoughts on active storage? Does it make sense that they're moving all these active, additional active things into the Rails ecosystem or Rails core, just like Active Job? Have you even used Active Job before? Have you switched out your normal Sidekick or delayed job for Active Job? I'd love to know. And what are your thoughts on active storage? Is this something that you're excited to see or hear about coming into Rails? I'd really love to know. You can send through a tweet to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send through an email to codacatchup@gmail.com. We can leave a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. Now, if you're listening to this podcast in iTunes, I'd really appreciate a rating and review. That'd be awesome. If you are listening to this on YouTube, you can leave a comment in the comment section below. And if you're enjoying it, please leave a like and possibly a subscribe. And I think last I checked, there was just over 50 subscribers to the YouTube channel. So thank you to anyone who has subscribed and if you're listening to this. Otherwise, if you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, please do check it out. But other than that, that's essentially it. We'll catch the next one.